Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church this morning, all you brave souls in this weather. But what a treat we have today as we have a chance to celebrate our Scottish heritage with a Kirken of the Tartan. More about that in just a few moments. Friends, whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad you have found your way to this worshiping community. Check out how we are churched together. Your bulletin has announcements and also a calendar. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. Just a few notes and announcements this morning. Following worship, we have quite a bit going on. First will be the safety training for all church leaders. Really, it's open to anyone. That will be in the adult lounge. And high school juniors, you got your letter. You have your invitation, and our first Jamaica orientation will begin today following Sunday school. Also, please note and mark your calendar about an intergenerational mission day. Intergenerational, it means all ages. So the youngest of disciples to the most wise and experienced, you are welcome to participate in a mission day at Rock Salt, and you'll see that for April 28th. We have a few other announcements, but just one last one. When you opened up your bulletin, if you noticed a nice little envelope that fell out, that is for your per capita giving. Every year we support how it is that we are the Presbyterian Church together through our mission giving and support of the Presbytery and Synod and General Assembly. Each Presbyterian member is asked to please pay your apportionment. You can place that in the offering as it goes by, and we will be sure to credit your giving. All right, we have a few other announcements. Al.
Good morning. April is one of the months that GPC serves a meal at St. Joseph's. It's our second of 2018, second meal. The sign-up sheet has been up for a while, but it still has quite a few empty spots on it. The one that concerns me most is there's only two people signed up to help serve the meal on Saturday from 10 until 1. If you can look at your schedules and know of somebody or have some young adults that some young kids maybe that want to come with you, we'll put them to use. It's a great experience to serve those in need. So if you don't want to go out in the snow and ice and rain and whatever happens to be the weather of the day, I'll also take cash donations and go shopping for you. So look me up after the service and sign up or make some donations. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Good morning, GPC. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Kathy Wakeman. I'm the Spiritual Gifts Elder, and one of the joys of my position is that I get to find out what your time and talents are, and I get to share those with session members and team leaders. So we have a table set out there. Please go ahead and fill out one of these. Even if you did one 2 years ago, we want everybody to re-up. And I look forward to having a whole bunch of these. If you have any questions, just ask me. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Keith Hadley. I'm here just to briefly talk a little bit about our transition in leadership of our children and youth ministries. As you know, Katie Sturt answered a call in Iowa, and she's taking that call. We'll be looking for a new person to fill that role. A letter was sent out to the congregation, including a partial job description. I have the full thing here today, either with me or on the table in the foyer, if you're interested in reading that. session voted to dissolve the position of associate pastor. Now, that sounds pretty serious and scary. It's really more of a formality than anything else. The fact is, the pool of candidates for a part-time associate pastor ordained is rather slim these days. So we decided to dissolve that so that we could interview people that aren't ordained to fill that position as a youth and children's ministry director. So it's just giving us the flexibility to do that. We have been receiving a few resumes and started some conversations about with people to fill that position. So things are moving forward. I'm very confident we're going to continue our awesome youth program here. And it's mostly because of our Sunday school teachers, youth advisors, volunteers, and especially parents. We've got a great thing going here, and I'm sure it's going to continue on in the future. If you want to ask me questions after worship, I'll hang around. Thanks.
Buenos dias. I'll only take a second. Just a reminder that the Guatemala Partners is holding their annual flower basket sale this year, and I'm asking you not to wait till the last minute. If you want to order those great flowers, get the orders in today or next Sunday for me, I'd appreciate it. Now, let us worship God.
Of the Holy Spirit in the bagpipes and drums, but that may just be my Scottish blood speaking. It is such a great joy to celebrate this morning the Kirkan o' the Tartan. Now, this is a North American tradition, but its origins go back into our Scottish history. The Scots have always had strong Christian convictions, whether they be Catholic or Protestant, and have always observed Sunday as the Lord's Day, a day of rest and a day of worship. This was the day when the Sunday or dress kilt was worn, a finer quality wool. And because of the significance of the family tartan in helping to unite the clans in the old days, a special event was held every year, The Klansmen's gathered together, dressed in those finest tartans, to rededicate themselves to the service to God and to give thanks for God's watchful eye over them during the year. The service was known to have taken place in the time of the Protestant Reformation in the 1500s. But by the time of proscription in 1746, which outlawed the wearing of anything tartan by any Scot, the ceremony obviously could not be held. And this is evident that some of the Klansmen took to carrying swatches of the material, the tartan, to the kirk or the church, and it would be concealed on their person. At some point in the service, the clergyman, because it was a clergyman at that time, would give a blessing. And the Klansmen would touch their bit of tartan, and with no overt signal given, a sort of underground kirking was taking place. Now, most writings of the subject seem to agree that the first kirking happened here in the United States and led by Dr. Peter Marshall at the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C., on April 27, 1941. On behalf of all the clans and peoples represented here this morning at Gates Presbyterian Church, we offer gratitude to our Almighty God, our heritage, and we pray God's blessings on God's servants and God's people in all lands of the earth. Join me in a time of prayer. Eternal God, bless these tartans, the symbols of our heritage. Grant those who wear them and the families and the people they represent that they may do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with you through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, now and always. Amen. And Jan is going to do the honor this morning of calling the clans.
We're a little sparse this morning, and yet I'm really surprised to see so many people here. But you know what? Scots people are hearty people, aren't we? So those of us who are Scots are here. So I'm going to do the calling of the clans. When you hear your clan name, please stand. Please bear with me, because as you know, this is a fairly long list, especially when we get to all those Macs. All right, and we begin with Anderson, Armstrong, Barkley, Bell, Bethune, Beaton, Frazier, Burns, Bruce, Buchanan, Carr, Cameron, Campbell, who's the first one up, Chatham, Chisholm, Crawford, Collardin, Cumming, Davidson, Donald, Douglas, Drummonds, Dunbar, Elliott, Farquharson, Ferguson, Fife, Fletcher, Forbes, Graham, Gordon, Gunn, Grant, Hamilton, Henderson, Holmes, Hall, Keith, Carricker, Johnson, Johnston, Lamont, Leslie, Lambert, Lawson, Lawrence, Lindsay, MacArthur, McCafferty, McCall, McCullum, McLaren, McClure, McDougall, McDougall, McDuff, McIntyre, McIntosh, McGregor, McCandlish, McVean, McKay, McCall, McKenzie, McKinnon, McNeil, McFarland, McLeod, Matheson, McMillan, McNaughton, McPherson, McMasters, McPhee. That's all the Macs. Malcolm, Martin, McAltheson, I don't know that one. Maxwell, McQueen, Menzies, Moffitt, Moncrief, Monroe, Morrison, Murray, Nicholson, Phillips, Ramsey, Ross, Robertson, Rowe, Rose, Scott, Sexton, Shaw, Sinclair, Smith, Stewart, Thurston, Turner, Thompson, that's me, Sutherland, Walker, Wallace, Watson, Webster, Windsor, Young. And last but not least, everybody else, who is the Clan Dia, the family of God. So everybody see it. There's your applause there.
There we go. Amen. And look. Let us pray together. Almighty God, who did command the tribes of ancient Israel to pitch their tents beneath the standards and in sign of their parents, and who set over your holy church the banner of cross of Christ, let your blessing rest upon all tartans set before you here today. Bless all families who claim a tartan as their own and keep them loyal to their standards, which their tartans represent, and faithful in the love of service to Christ and his Kirk, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, unto whom you, O God, and the Holy Spirit, be all power and majesty, now and forevermore. Amen. And now please remain standing for the call to worship.
What joy we have.
Our Lord is risen.
Believe with your whole heart in the miracle of resurrection.
Open our hearts to the good news of God's faithfulness to us.
Alleluia.
Alleluia.
You may be seated. And at this time, let us join our hearts and voices together in a time of confession. God of mercy, we come celebrating our unity, but we confess the many ways we are divided. Our assumptions of what is normal when it comes to physical ability, education, political leanings, race, sexual orientation, gender, and age all too often obscure the life revealed through each person and created by you. Declare to us once again the joy you intend for all your people to share in the communal witness of your life-giving grace and love. When we walk in the light of Christ, we have fellowship with one another. When we confess our sins, the one who is faithful and just forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. For in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has showered mercy upon the entire world. Amen. And at this time, the children are invited to come forward. You guys come over here with me this morning. Sometimes it's good to change things up. You want to come over here? Come on over here. Come on. I know. Something different. Come on. I know you can do it, though. Come on over. Come on over. It's all right. Can you guys slide over just a little? Good morning. There we go. Come on up. Hi. I kind of thought it'd be fun to meet back here. Come on. You good? You're good. All right. You're good. Hello. How are you today? I do. Yes. Oh, really? That's so good. I thought it would be kind of fun to meet back here. It kind of feels like a little bit of a fort, doesn't it? With these flags that are built right here that we can see. And I thought it might give us a little bit closer perspective to see these flags. Did you all see these as they came in? Yes. So these are called tartans, which is kind of, don't let them hear me, it's kind of a fancy word for plaid. Shh. What these tartans show are the different families that lived and still live in Scotland and throughout the world. Each family in Scotland has their own last name and their own tartan. Some families even have more than one. So my family tartan is Campbell, and we have quite a few of those too. What is really neat, I think, about the tartans or the plaids is each one represents a family, but when, and they're all different, but when they all come together and we have a chance to celebrate all those differences, what we are really celebrating together is how we are all part of one family. And I think the church is a lot like that. We're all pretty different, aren't we? You all are pretty different. You have different hair colors. You have different sparkles on your shirt. Yeah, I like your sparkles. Your hair's dry. That's good. My hair was wet when I came in today. We have different skin colors. That's right. Some of us have lived in different states and cities and countries. Some of us... I do know your Nana. Absolutely. Some of us have different Nanas and Papas and Moms and Dads. Some of us like to do different things and skills, but when we come together here at church, we are one family in Jesus. And how cool is that, that we all get to be together and say thank you to God for bringing us together, even on days like this. Can we pray together? Will you all pray with me? Yes? All right. Dear God, thank you for our differences and bringing us together in Jesus as one. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming up. All right, so you can go up around this way or back out that way and head to Sunday school today. You have fun. I do know your papa. He's nice, isn't he? Yeah. Thank you.
Our first scripture reading is from John 1, verses 14 to 16. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a God's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' For his fullness we have all received, grace upon grace."
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the first letter of John. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. For many of our youth, the first opportunity they have to engage in mission partnerships, well, if they don't volunteer at St. Joseph's this coming weekend, is on the junior high work project in July. All right, so parents of now fifth graders, despite this crazy weather, summer will be here before we know it. Well, at least we keep hoping it will be. This summer work project is an incredible opportunity for our youth to live into what I believe is the purpose of the church, to in community, to hear, to see, to look, and to touch with our own hands life revealed in God's love. And that can be really difficult to describe to someone, but it's one of those we know it when we see it kind of moments. And I remember one of those in my first years here as pastor at GPC when the junior high advisors asked if I wanted to tag along with them to serve at the soup kitchen at Salem UCC. Now, what I didn't know at the time was that place is a well-oiled machine, and you know this if you're one of the volunteers who is now part of our monthly group that heads down there. I tell you, the people in that kitchen and the ones who are serving, they've been doing it for so long, and they know how it should be run. And like most church folks, as long as you do it their way, they're really pretty happy to have anyone come, drop by, and help, which, by the way, is an incredible gift for new volunteers, especially youth, who really have no idea what they're doing. And the guests at Salem who come for lunch represent a very diverse crowd: low-income seniors facing food insecurity, veterans, people who are chronically homeless, those suffering from mental illness or substance abuse, and people who are working every single day just to try to make ends meet. So when you're a volunteer there, you're paired up with someone to serve at one of the tables. And one of our youth, who will remain nameless, was assigned to work with me. We had never done this before, and we did what we were told, and all was going well. We had managed to get the salad and the fruit and the hot meal to the table. And we were just checking, making sure everyone had what they needed, and we were going to go get dessert from the kitchen when an older gentleman grabbed the wrist of one of our youth and said, "You look like, just like my friend from when I was a boy." Now, my body tensed as I waited for a look of panic from our youth. But he stood there. He didn't seem flustered or worried. He didn't feel the pressing need to get back to the task at hand. Instead, he just took a small step closer and leaned in to the old man and smiled. And I watched the two of them. And in an instant, I almost would have missed it. That awkward grasp became something else. They were holding hands. And the old man started talking about his friend from when he was a kid. And our youth asked questions about what life was like growing up in Rochester when he was a kid. And the two held hands for a few moments longer. And I watched as dessert went unserved, and the regular volunteers got a little bit twitchy when there was a backup in the kitchen. But I just kept watching this moment of connection between these two people. And eventually our youth just wandered off to clear some dishes, and the old man smiled into his cup of coffee as he poured in more sugar. This moment that I had the honor and joy of witnessing, to me, that was church. In a moment where we don't always know what we're doing, but we're always reaching out for connection, and in return, we're given more than we could ever hope to expect. That's church. And this epistle letter from 1 John that we're going to be exploring over the next few weeks offers us these little glimpses like this into a church that was constantly trying to figure out what to do next when they had never even been the church. How to adapt, how to respond to the changing world around them, and remain connected to each other. Funny how some things really never change. Just when we think we have it all figured out, what it means to be the church, something is going to change. The music isn't going to be like it used to be. Those youth from junior high are now graduating from college. How dare they? Pastors leave. Conversations about topics we've come to assume are political turn out to be theological, and we wish they would really stop doing that. And the way that we've always done it is great until it just isn't anymore. The thing I think we can always count on about church is that there are aspects of our life together that are always changing. And sometimes that is what makes connecting in community so difficult and yet so wonderful. And I think we can find a bit of comfort in knowing that these were the challenges the early Christian churches also faced. See, there were these members, we find out if we read the entire epistle to John, there were members of the community who were doing what I would call ghosting. You know, when people are unhappy with the changes going on, they just kind of suddenly disappear from the life of the community. And in this case, people were gravitating towards a fairly disembodied spirituality. This was a spirituality that moved away from, even actively denied, the incarnation. A spirituality that did not require a particular claim about the relationship that God's very being had with human flesh that was born, lived, was crucified, and on the third day rose from the dead. To have a spirituality that did not require an embodiment in flesh and blood community. Rather, it normalized a more private, individual way of being. I don't want to oversimplify too much, but in a lot of ways it boiled down to the fact that the church was changing, and there were those who thought that they were just better off connecting to God by themselves. They didn't need a church. They didn't need a community. Huh. Some 2,000 years later, we know that there is a tremendous amount of appeal to that. But First John keeps pushing towards the tangible, the real humanity of Jesus, the embodiment of faith in flesh, in relationship, in community. The word that the epistle writer uses here in Greek is one of my favorites, koinonia. And I love it because there isn't really a good English translation. This morning we heard the word fellowship from the New Revised Standard Version, but I just don't feel like that's strong enough to emphasize this tangible connection, this mutuality, community, partnership. This mutual connection in community, koinonia, John writes, was there in the beginning. Echoing the prologue of the Gospel of John, koinonia was in the beginning, and it was with God, and it was God. God's very nature was expressed through God's relationship with God's self in the person of Jesus Christ. And that very nature of who God is in koinonia came, dwelt among us. We have heard, we have seen, we have looked and touched with our own hands the tangible and embodied way of who God is in relationship. And the purpose of this relationship was not so believers could go off and just believe all alone. reality of what it means is that it calls us again and again to be the embodiment of koinonia in mutual relationship with others through community. Friends, we are the church in our reaching out, of giving and receiving connection to one another's lives, precisely because this is who we believe God to be. And this can be difficult to describe to people, especially living in our ever-changing, I'm spiritual but not religious sort of world. But indeed, we do know connection, relationship, koinonia, when we see it. When we reach out and hold life revealed in God's love with our own hands. May it be so for you and for me. Alleluia. Join our voices together in song. We also bring our hearts, our bodies, all of who we are, the joys and the concerns that we bring both from our lives and from our communities and world. If you have a joy you'd like to share, please raise your hand. An usher will bring you a microphone. Let us know who you are and how we can be in prayer with you today.
Hi, Cherie Barrett. If you see in the bulletin that Craig Barkley was supposed to be doing the Klan call, his wife, Velma, fell and broke some ribs and her wrist, and that's why he's not here. So prayers for Velma.
Prayers for Velma with her fall, definitely.
Good morning, Gary Dykes. Two things, prayers for my wife and her father as he's going through transition and the dementia area. We're going to attempt to get him moved into a senior living area, and he's doing good, but I think he's a little nervous about what's going to happen. Also, prayers from someone that just brought to my attention a few minutes ago. Just prayers for friends from our church community and a young child that is in need of some medical attention.
Jan Buettner, just want to ask prayers for a friend of mine who passed away on Friday, Vicki Alexander. Just want to ask prayers for her husband, Jim, and their family.
Prayers for Jim and their family.
My name is Vivian. My little niece, she just had a diagnosis of biliary atresia. She's going under liver failure. Thank goodness her mom is a match, and they're going to do the liver transplant tomorrow in Children's in Atlanta. Please give prayers for the baby as well as the mom for a successful procedure tomorrow.
Holding that family in our prayers, most definitely. We also have prayers this morning. I'm not seeing any other hands. If calling your attention just to the back of the bulletin, there's quite a long list of folks today who could use our prayers, including the family, the Davis-White family, in Dean's passing. His service will be held here today at 3 o'clock. Also prayers for the Balmer family, and also for Diane Keeling in the death of her father this week as well. And we also have prayers from our children as they share them with us today. Prayers of joy for birthdays, for people and dogs, for moms and dads, for the tooth fairy. Prayers of concern for a dog having surgery. Prayers of concern when we don't always get along with our brothers and sisters. Prayers for cars covered in ice. Prayers of concern for spring not coming soon enough. Prayers for a band teacher's relative who recently died. Prayers for dogs that are eating things that they shouldn't. Prayers of joy for merit badges and shopping, building droids. And prayers of joy for birthdays and for our Scottish friends, band and bagpipes. And hey, we even have someone who's interested. We'll figure out who that is. What great joy we celebrate with them today. Let us continue our time of prayer. God of the resurrection, you are powerful and tender, known and unknown, close as our very breath and far away as the sun. But we know that you long for conversation and prayer and relationship with us. So hear our humble prayers again, dear Lord, and please keep calling us, nudging us, whispering in our ears, so we have the courage to turn to you as continually as you turn to us. This morning we lift in prayer to you with heavy hearts, the people of Syria and the Gaza Strip. Efforts for peace have broken down and military presence and might have risen up. The loss of life is beyond our comprehension. Forgive us, O God, when we lack the imagination and the knowledge and the wisdom to respond in any way but with violence. Teach your people, O God, all of us, that love is stronger than hate, that justice is necessary for peace. Give us all the will to be peacemakers in our own lives, with our words and actions and willingness to understand. We offer in prayer to you this morning, O God, those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, for the family of Dean Davis, Diane Keeling, the death of her father, for the Balmer family, the Priestley family, and the recent death of Walt's sister. In the midst of heartache and loss, we give thanks that you call us to be your church, O God, to reach out to one another, to laugh and cry together. And God, for the celebration of our Scottish heritage as Presbyterians, we give thanks for the sounds and music of bagpipes and drums and the proud displays of tartans. You do. You speak your word of truth and love in relationship, O God, and we give thanks, praying again and again the prayer your Son Jesus taught us to say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us, with joy and thanksgiving, receive the morning offering.
And surprising God, when we thought that death had claimed your only Son, you amazed us with the resurrection. Surprise us again with your ability to turn these humble offerings into gifts that will transform the world through our witness to your love. We lay our very lives at your feet, O God, knowing that you will use us to proclaim and embody the gospel. Amen.
Thank you.
sounds of the soul, my friends, the sounds of the soul. And we go forth knowing that God's love infuses each and every part of our being deep into our hearts and our minds, our bodies, for we are the Kirk, God's church, to live out into this world. And so we go with the strength of God's love, the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and the courage that comes from the Holy Spirit now and always. Friends, alleluia. Amen.
And now we'll do the blessing of the clans. Okay. Could the folks who carried our banners in, could you please come up and stand back here so you can grab your banner? Thank you. I would like to thank Jim and Cherie Barrett and the Highland Pipers and the folks from the Rochester Scottish Heritage Society who are here with us this morning to help out with our Kirkin. I'd like to thank them. And now we'll do the blessing of the tartans before we leave. Almighty God, who is not without witness in every land and generation, we give you thanks today, especially for the faith and zeal of the Celtic Church, for Patrick, Columba, Bridie, and all who labored for Christ in Scotland. We honor the workers who kept faith and art and scholarship alive in dark centuries, and whose zeal for the gospel brought Jesus to the Picts and the Scots. We celebrate the memory of bards and warriors, of poets and pipers, of deeds of valor and causes of loss. We remember the countless common people throughout the ages in kitchen and field, marketplace and factory, classroom and home, who have lived the faith and tradition of the Celtic Church, both in Scotland and around the world. And finally, we give thanks for all who've gathered here today to carry on that witness into the ages to come. Teach us, Lord, to honor our heritage without forgetting our faults, to celebrate our heroes and our ancestors without hating our neighbors, and above all, to remember you, the God of all, who calls us to love and joy and peace with all humanity. Almighty God, you've promised that in all places where you are remembered, you will meet your people to bless them. Now bless us in these tartans as symbols of our heritage, which we dedicate to you, and grant that the people who wear them and the clans represented by them may behave justly, love mercy, walk humbly with you all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.